The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Peter Donnelly, great author, illustrator, friend, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan Tuberty, how are you?
How's the world?
It's grand. I'm sitting in the damp Kerry countryside at the moment.
You're in?
Caherdaniel.
Oh, beautiful.
A beautiful part of the world. So we've been here, and hopefully we'll get back to Wicklow in one piece on Saturday.
You went from Wicklow to Kerry, breaking no rules.
Breaking no rules, I'd like to say.
And on a long awaited, much deserved holiday, I suspect.
Well, yeah, it was. I think it was the second or third holiday that we had cancelled, but we got this one in, so we were happy enough. We got something in, and it's beautiful down here.
Now, I don't know if they have shops around there, but they probably have lots of gift shops that you can buy fake things like puffins. Have you seen any exotic looking birds around the place there, Peter?
I haven't seen any exotic looking birds, but I have a feeling there's probably a stuffed puffin somewhere in Dublin in a museum.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah. Again, a work of fiction. It's like, you know, the puffin thing is a bit like people believe that there was a man on the moon, and some people believe
absolutely,
you know, this sort of these crazy people. But as we know, you're not going to see one because you'll be quicker to see a flying pig. But
I think you got to fly out to the islands a little bit to see those. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The fantasy island. Now let's talk about what's happening in your world, because you've delivered us a beautiful new book called The Dead Zoo.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people around the country, you know, I'm a fan of the President's Glasses and that series
you
did.
Yeah.
In fact, let's go there for a minute, because what a week for the all the talk we've been having about Brode and Shia, the poor old Shia that passed away at the weekend,
yeah,
as you know. And those dogs featured in one of your books.
They did. Like, they featured in my third book, The President's Surprise. And really, they featured in that book because when I did a lot of festivals and events based on the first two books, the one question I got asked by practically every kid around the country was, when are you going to draw the dog? So they are probably the most popular thing after the president. So I definitely had planned to feature them in the third book. And she makes it in there. Or was it he or she?
I think she, they were both she for some reason. But I'll double check
sure.
that. Brode. No, they sound like men for some reason. I don't know. I'll find out from that.
He, she is in there anyway. To please everybody.
Gender neutral dog will do fine for
now. You got to play your cards right these days with every book, you know.
We'll get a confirmation now in the next couple of minutes. I presume that was well received. The kids of Ireland were happy to see the dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they loved it. And when I went around and when I kind of performed, as you do these days, that book, they loved the idea that the dogs were there.
When you were drawing, just this is kind of important for a lot of people listening who always were quite handy at drawing but never went to art college, so to speak. You always knew it was going to be art for you, but yet art didn't necessarily let you in official circles.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, I knew right up to my leaving cert that I really wanted to do something in art. And at the time, you're talking way back in the late 80s, at the time, there wasn't much career choices in art. It was a fine artist or probably a graphic designer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied to art college, as one does when they're interested in art, and I didn't get in.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good message for any of the kids out there that did apply to art college this year and mightn't have got it. But I stuck at it, and I reckoned because I was so enthusiastic about it that an opportunity would arise eventually, and it did, in the form of Don Bluth.
And Don Bluth, people remember Don Bluth Studios. They made, what did they make before? Was it All Dogs Go to Heaven?
That's right, yeah. An American Tale, I think,
was
the big one that put them on the map with Spielberg. And then they had moved studio to Dublin. And the first movie we made was The Land Before Time.
Yeah.
About dinosaurs, which was a great movie. And we made about five, six movies in Ireland.
Anastasia,
that was the first one we made when we moved to Arizona. Eventually, we relocated over there. Yeah,
so
it was a great adventure.
You found your calling, and you were moving in the right direction.
I did. Well, I think again, it was the fact that I was so determined after not getting into art college that I kept drawing, I kept producing a good portfolio, and an opportunity arose. And that's what I would say to anybody who finds themselves in that situation: just keep plugging away, like, you know, and opportunities do happen. You just have to be ready to take them when they do arrive. Like, and I was lucky, I was fortunate, like, you know, and it happened for me.
And your dad was a builder?
He was. He just worked in the building trade. He was an ordinary labourer. He wasn't an artist of any sort.
But he loved the arts.
He was very supportive, yeah. He fancied himself as a bit of a poet, like a lot of Irish daddies. Like,
yeah.
He was fond of the old limerick, but he did. And he was very encouraging to me. And, I mean, at the time, I could have gone into the building trade and, you know, become a plasterer or a carpenter, which would have been, you know, great trade.
Yeah.
But he said, look, stick at it. Like, I mean, give it another year or two and see what happens. So he was very supportive, as was my mother, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he used to bring me around to museums when I was a young kid quite a lot.
You see, that this is why it's so important. What I would say to parents of children is to bring them to these museums, because the Dead Zoo, the Natural History Museum, which we're going to talk about now, is free. The
Absolutely.
National Gallery, with all those beautiful paintings by Caravaggio and Picasso and all the Jack
yes.
B. Yeats and all the great Irish art, is free.
Yeah, one of the few cities around Europe that they're
yeah.
all free. Exactly.
See, you can't say, oh, it's too snobbish, or I don't, that doesn't belong to me. It does. You own it. You're a citizen. It's yours.
Yeah.
So your dad brought you to places like this, the Dead Zoo, and here we are. Here you are as a fully grown adult, apparently.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Physically.
Like myself, waiting for the brain to catch up. But still,
yeah.
Here we are, and now this book that was, you know, that clearly came from those afternoons
of leisure. Absolutely. Like, you know, it was something that always amazed me when I went, and we went to the Dead Zoo quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of your producers or researchers yesterday, and I was saying that it was equal parts terror and excitement
yeah.
when I went in
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
because
well said.
when I see the bones of those great elks, it's so impressive. It's such an entrance, like, and
yeah.
They scared me every time, but not enough to make me go, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
But
the
cold, I loved it, like,
the cold dead eyes of a chimpanzee looking at you.
Absolutely. And even though you're not allowed to touch them, but putting your hand up to the teeth of a tiger and
yeah.
just amazing, like, you know, things that you'd never get to do unless you're Joe Exotic, you know. But
yeah.
you
don't mention that. but the your central character, Mr. Gray, he's the only
yeah.
bit of non-color in it. I love that you did with that. He's not real. I mean, we spoke to Nigel Monaghan, who's the keeper of
yeah.
the zoo, Dead Zoo, here on the radio, and a nicer, more colorful man, more
Absolutely.
Passionate man you wouldn't meet. So
yeah.
you've decided that there's a kind of a bad egg in there, for starters, anyway.
Yeah, I kind of, I wanted to, you know, one of my favorite stories growing up was The Selfish Joint.
Oh, yeah.
And I love The Selfish Joint, and I love the way this main character, who we think is bad in the beginning, but is actually not a bad character,
exactly.
and kind of redeems himself a little bit. And Mr. Grey, I think he's just a bit lonely.
Yeah.
And he's probably just working with stuffed animals too long.
Yeah.
And I think it takes him a while to warm up. But yeah, it was based kind of on my love of Oscar Wilde's The Selfish Joint.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of have a character that begins at the beginning of the book as a kind of a grey, kind of miserable character, but kind of has this amazing transformation and it has a nice ending. And that's what Mr. Grey is.
It's funny you should talk about that. All those people that you can meet in life, in work or
oh, absolutely,
beyond,
yeah.
who the perception of them would be that they're quite angry, maybe nasty, maybe mean.
This is it. Look, but I mean, I think everybody has a little story behind
but
them
that's
but we
it.
Just
it,
don't know.
But the perception has built so much that it's almost given them that shell. But if
yeah.
if you give them the time of day, or if you try a different angle, you actually might find somebody very pleasant in there who just wasn't given the chance to shine.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, no one's born that way. I think we're shaped that way. And
yeah.
inside are probably screaming to kind of, hey, someone break the shell for me. And that's kind of like that character. And,
exactly.
you know, in my book, you know, it's a tiny little mouse that does the job. The only alive creature in a living creature in the Dead Zoo. Kind of ironic.
Of course. I just love the illustrations. I love the cases that the animals are in.
Mm-hmm.
I love the colours that you use.
This is
probably my favourite children's book this year from
oh,
anywhere
wow.
in the world, let alone Ireland.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant. Thank you very much.
No, I mean that, Peter, because you've got
yeah.
A connection with kids and reading and writing that's clearly, it's evident in the book. The production of it by Gil, by the way, is a knockout.
Yeah, I mean, they do a fantastic job. They really, you know, and I've got to thank Graham Pugh as well, who's a designer who works on all my books.
Yeah.
And the team in Gill, and they really kind of, you know, you see this book coming out and my name is on it, similar to the present books, but, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but there are a team behind that
sure,
you know, turned that book out, from designers to promoters to editors. So, I'm very lucky to have a team like that behind me, you know.
As you're in Cathair Daniel in Kerry, have you been to Daniel O'Connell's house, that kind of museum house?
We have. Well, I've been coming down here for about 11 years, so I think I've seen everything about 10 times.
But that is a fascinating place as well.
It's
a great story. If you ever were to move on to a historical character and do a little book to introduce children to history at an early age, he would be quite the figure for you to visit there. What I'm basically saying is, enjoy your holiday, but you should always be working as well, Peter.
Well, I always am. I'm always trying to pick up the next story from somewhere.
Hey, listen, congratulations. That is a beautiful production. I'd be shocked if we didn't see it flashed up on the toy show at some point in the next 6 weeks or whatever. But we're fans of what you do, Peter. You're keeping the children entertained and occupied and well-read. So enjoy the rest of your holiday. We'll see you soon.
Thanks a million, Ryan, for your support. Bye-bye.
Don't mention it. See you soon. Peter Donnelly is the author of that beautiful book, simply called The Dead Zoo. It would be a beautiful, I really mean that endorsement of it, for what it's worth, a beautiful addition to any of your children's bookshelves, or indeed lives. It's gorgeous. Christina was on to say, I'm Australian and a banger is a sausage on the barbie. Well, a banger is a mash. We would say bangers for that too. But the word moves around the lexicon, shall we say. Yes.